Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Go. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio, the only show broadcasting live from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goes, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Race and Sportsbook, you're listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goes. Our East co-host, back east, producing, it's Andre the Giant.
Ayo.
What's up? What up?
I'm going keto right now. I'm having dinner.
Keto.
Keto.
What exactly is that?
No carbs. Just lots of protein, lots of veggies, no carbs.
Isn't that Atkins?
Kind of. Or just the old low-carb diet.
Yeah.
But how do you like
keto.
It?
So far, so good.
Oh, my God.
I have a lady friend that got me into this, and so far I'm digging it.
You don't like it, George?
No, it's just that word drives me nuts because I have buddies on it, and they won't shut up about it. So as soon as Andre started talking, I was amazed that I wasn't mad. Because I think at one point, maybe 2 months ago, I was walking, talking to myself, and I think I said something along the lines of, I swear to God, the next person that even says the word keto, I'm going to stab them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll take a free stab. You can slice away some of my belly fat while you're at it, please.
So when Andre said it, I thought, hey, wait a minute. I'm not upset. Tell me more, Andre. So maybe it's more pegged to my buddies.
Well, which ones in particular?
Dude.
Because some of them.
Squid and Woody are literally 10 years behind on stuff.
What do you
mean? They're discovering things now, the older man stuff, you know, that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of that. That I think maybe just hit me earlier, 40 stuff. And then other stuff is being involved in MMA. Like,
we're exposed to a lot of that type of stuff.
Exactly.
Nutrition side.
So the nutrition side, you know what I mean? That and philosophical quotes.
What
I mean? I got to see one here at Mandalay Bay every day. And then there's a lot of fighters that put them out every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when my buddies also say stuff, and then they misuse the hashtags as well.
But Andre got a pass, huh?
Yeah, Andre got a pass. I'm in a good mood. I'm all right. Good luck with that, Andre.
Thank you.
I hope you do. Have you lost any weight yet?
So I didn't go full keto until just over the weekend, but I gave up rice back in February. I'm 25 pounds down, and then now I'm giving up the rest of carbs, and hopefully that goes all the way.
Those are some stats there. But, you know, I don't think you have to – I think that's why I like the wording of low-carb diet, not no-carb diet.
Mm-hmm. Well, because eventually, I guess, not to shit on your parade here, but I guess what happens is
Andre's,
is what people will say is, okay, well, once you get to where you want to be, and then you introduce that stuff back again, can you maintain it, right?
Right.
I'm staying out of it, because carbs is like
drugs.
You're
out of the carb game altogether?
Yeah, because like, I feel like
no
the moment I eat
rice, no
just
more potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Like, just a bit that I don't know about that. I'm out. Like, I'm going to go all the way with it. Just saying. Rice is very addictive to me. I'm Filipino, so it's like in every damn dish in the list. So it's really hard giving up rice. But I know
so that's what I'm saying. Just do the low-carb diet.
I'm going no-carb because I see the results slowly but surely, and I don't want to, like, just bulk back up.
And what happened after these 25 pounds? Are you like Xerxes or something? There's just women all over you all of a sudden?
No, it's just the number on the scale goes down. As in, there's one woman all around me now, but She did keto as well. She's like the reason why I'm doing all this, because she did it like back in 2017.
You guys official, or are you guys just seeing each other?
We met a short time ago, and right now we are the in-between.
Okay, I walk up, and you're with her. I walk up to her, and I go, "Hey, how you doing? Good." Would she say, "Meet my friend," or my boyfriend, Andre?
She might just say, "It's Andre." That's it. Like, meet Andre.
Okay, what would you say?
I would probably say girlfriend, because I like her a ton. She likes me a ton. Nice. So, yeah.
I'm happy for you, Andre.
Thank you,
I'm glad we were able to pin him down. give us an answer.
Yeah, he didn't take the easy way out, huh?
No, he finally just said, all right, this is the deal. This is the deal. I like this chick, and she likes me, so there you have it. And if she didn't know it, then she just heard it right now on national radio, channel 156.
Pretty sure she's not listening. Come on, let's be real, guys. Life and radio, the people you love are the ones that don't listen to you.
Okay, all right. What's her name?
Her name is Faye. F-A-Y-E, Faye.
F-A-Y-E, yeah, okay. Cool. All right, so today we have four guests. That's why we're messing around now, because the rest of the time we're going to be talking to big-name fighters and notables from the sport of mixed martial arts. Joseph Benavidez will start things off in about 10, followed by Lillian Garcia, the PFL ring announcer, former WWE ring announcer. Emily Whitmire, UFC strawweight, she'll stop by the studio and hang with us and chill. She's on the same card as Joseph, by the way, late June. Out in Minnesota, UFC on ESPN3. And then Sean O'Connell, PFL commentator. We got the PFL 2019 week 3 upon us. It's tomorrow. So we'll go over some of the finer fights there on the fight card with them. If you want to call in during the show, it's 877-FIGHT93, 877-344-4893. If you want to holler us on Twitter, it works for our show as well as all the shows on our channel. It's at MMA on Sirius XM. All right, guys, where do you want to start? I mean, there's open workouts out in Chicago, Illinois. There's big news. You tell me, Vato.
I kind of like Justin Gaethje coming out
and
talking to Conor McGregor.
Yeah. So Justin Gaethje is – he, along with Conor McGregor, are the only top five lightweights who don't have a fight booking. Cerrone's got Ferguson. Poirier's got Habib. One's happening on Saturday. The other one's happening on September 7th, but it's official. They're unifying. Interim versus Undisputed. Nate Diaz, who has been a frequent dance partner of Conor McGregor in the past, he's fighting Anthony Pettis in another division. Ally Aquinta's licking his chops, you know, from the fight that he had versus Cowboy Cerrone. So, yeah, basically the two that stand out as to not being booked is Conor McGregor and Justin Gaethje. And Justin Gaethje goes, we've known him for a while. He's not really this type, but I guess he's had it. It was like an ultimatum on Twitter, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Conor, who's basically tweeting every day something. It always changes, but it's a familiar storyline. And this one heads back to Floyd Mayweather. He says, boxing is great. I am going to relish another go. I challenge Juan Manuel Mayweather to a rematch under the tutelage of my old club. We'll see you then, mate. All right, so Juan Manuel is a reference to Juan Manuel Marquez. I don't know why he said it, goes, other than I know Pacquiao and Marquez fought four times.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's trying to say, hey, I'd love to mix it up with Mayweather multiple times, or why did he call him Juan Manuel Mayweather?
I don't really understand that either.
Yeah.
That was kind of odd.
All right, so I'm completely lost. And that's fine. He tweeted that. And, okay, like I say, it's been a revolving door. It's either Gaethje, Cerrone, Ferguson, Diaz. I think Aldo got some love. Or, of course, Floyd. So today was Floyd. No, sorry, this was June 1st. This is the way Gaethje answered back. Goes, here we go. Do it the right way, pussy. This is Twitter talk. Stop shitting on the integrity of the sport. You want at Team Khabib? So, meaning Habib Nurmagomedov, he says, if you want him again, you fight me. Or the winner of Cowboy and Ferguson, same guy. Or get the fuck out of here and enjoy all that money.
Here's what I like about this, George, and here's what I think is different.
Uh-huh.
It puts Conor in a situation where usually when people call him out like that, they're people that he doesn't really give the time of day to. He says, you got to work your way up to someone like me, that sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say that to Justin Gaethje. He's put in his time. Mm-hmm. He's won a belt in another organization. He's a feared man in that division. This is one where somebody a real peer, you have to kind of take serious that that dude just called you out. He's not way at the bottom. He's right next to you. What do you do?
And he laid it out nicely. He said, look, if you want to get to this guy, fight me or the winner of another fight, which shows, hey, look, I'm grounded here. I realize, you know, Ferguson's a beast and Cerrone's on fire. So he showed no ego at all in this little Twitter spat, this little Twitter confrontation. But he made his point. Then he even says, or go enjoy all that money. So almost as if to say, and before you even bring up money and how cool and rich you are, I just did it. Go enjoy it. You know, we're all happy for you. But figure something out.
Mm-hmm.
Look, nobody would be saying these things if Connor wasn't the one that was constantly teasing a return to both sports. We're all game, Connor McGregor. I've often said on this show that there's nothing better than a Conor McGregor fight week. Just, I mean, he turns the city upside down wherever the event takes place. New York, Las Vegas, wherever
it
takes place.
But especially here.
Yes. Well, I mean, I guess here too, yeah.
Think about it. They closed the strip. They closed off the strip.
Yes, yes. I was thinking of him coming in, you know, skipping along, doing his counting his money and grabbing Alvarez's belt. But yeah, yeah. He works anywhere. It's fun. We all tune in. We all listen to conference calls that we only get to half the time. We all go to open workouts that we only go once a year. I mean, he turns the sport upside down, and everybody's into it. Veterans that are 55, 60 that have fought in this sport. The younger ones, the ones that are even 10 years younger than him. I mean, everybody tunes in. Haters, the biggest fans, the fighters and promoters, you know, from another organization. We all love it. But enough already. Either that or just, I don't know. He's in shape. Like, just give us an 8-week camp. Pick a date. Circle it. Tell us where and when. And we're all in. We are all in.
It's so odd.
And I know that, I guess a lot of stuff maybe is tied into the right guy and the right circumstances and I got to win. But I thought the whiskey kind of took that pressure off. Now just go out and fight. We don't even care if he loses.
Mm-hmm.
He's already been a champ. He's already won a ton of money. If he were to lose to Justin Gaethje, I'd still shake both guys' hands and go, man, that was a hell of a fight. Thanks for doing that. And if he wins, okay. But the whole thing of like, hey, I'm the greatest here, I'm the greatest, that went away. You know, he never got a chance to defend either belt. So all that went away. But did he make his money? Yeah. Did the shtick work? Yes. Now just give us the great fights and we're good, win or lose. Even Conor McGregor fans. That's how I feel.
Here's the argument, the one argument that I don't like hearing, and it's that he's afraid. Conor McGregor, say what you will about him, I don't know that that dude fears anyone. I really don't. He's been in there with just about the worst scenarios you can think of. Mm-hmm. Habib in mixed martial arts, one of the greatest boxers of all time, and Floyd Mayweather. If you're afraid, you ain't doing those type of things. Jose Aldo,
yeah,
that I don't believe. Politics, okay.
I hear you. All right. We have a bunch of guests coming up, so right now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to UFC flyweight Joseph Benavidez. He also fought at bantamweight back in the WEC days. He was a stud. He has been a stud. There's really been no drop-off with this guy. But what he's got coming up is a flyweight bout on June 29th, so we'll tackle all that when we come back.
We are the nation of domination.
Fight Nation, domination. They go hand in hand. We bring the fight to you on Sirius XM Fight Nation, Channel 156.
Their mantles are covered with participation awards. They have boxes of gold stars that they purchased themselves. They are the legends and demand your respect. Here are George and Goes.
All right, we're ready to go with our next guest. His name's Joseph Benavidez. He'll be fighting Juicy A. Formiga at UFC on ESPN3, and Ngannou versus Dos Santos. So that's the headliner bout. Joseph and Formiga slotted in the co-main event spot there on big ESPN. Not the deuce, not ESPNU, not ESPN Plus or any. The big, solid 206 on DirecTV. Check your local listings if you don't have DirecTV. But literally the first channel when I come home and I start up the TV, boom, 206. That's the one. Other great fights, Rocco Martin versus Damian Maya. Love that one. Alonzo Menafield versus Paul Craig. So some a lot of talent here. All right, let's bring him in. Joe B. One Kenobi, how you been?
How are you guys? Good to talk to you today.
You too, my man. How you doing?
Really good. Really good. Just hanging out between training, getting some sun, you know. Just hanging out.
Yeah. All right, so Joseph, I wanted to ask you, for some reason, in these last 30 days, we've talked to a lot of fighters that have said something along the way of it just stopped being fun. Has the sport stopped being fun for you, or do you still love it?
Nah, man, it's super fun. If I didn't enjoy it, I feel I'm at the point where, you know, I'm doing it now. Because I'm still doing it and still having fun and still succeeding because I do enjoy it. You know, I think it's obvious in my performances. If anybody sees me in the gym and talks to me, I just feel lucky to do it every day. That's how I look at this, just kind of how lucky we are. I leave my house and, you know, I'm super grateful when I leave my house. Like, I make my wife coffee and, you know, see my dog, and that makes me so grateful. And then I'm going to do something I love, and it's obviously enjoyable because it allows me that, like, that I was just so happy for, like, my wife and, like, even my house. I'm just like, this is nice. I'm driving in a nice car, and I'm like, what I'm going to do right now, like, it allows me this, and it's super fun, you know, seeing guys at the gym, you know, keeping you young, always some kind of character. So I love everything about it, honestly. The people I have around me, the people I meet through day to day, and just the everyday challenge of it, honestly, is amazing. So,
is it as simple as
I have a blast every day?
With most of the people that you've come across, you know, your teammates or just fighters that you keep in contact with, you think happiness is usually tied into the wins and losses? Like, can you lose a couple but still enjoy the grind and still enjoy wanting to fight, or are those pretty like? You know, humbling, you know, and you know, do they really knock fighters down quite a bit that you know of, you know, outside of you?
I honestly think it's so individual, and it's like where you're at in life. Like, if you're happy with everything in your life and yourself and your family, and, you know, I don't have kids yet, but I'd imagine something like that. I think it's a lot easier to take a loss and go home and know, like, hey, like, this is life. Like, this is important. Like, fighting's a fight. Fighting's a job. But it doesn't define you once, I think, you have a family and things that are bigger than fighting, which a lot of things are. When you're a younger kid coming up, you're undefeated, you take your first loss, you know, you go on a skid or something like that, and you don't have anything else bigger as far as, like, a relationship or really, like, something larger to fall back on, I think the losses can probably be a little hard. Like, you know, I've taken losses before when I was devastated and, you know, and depressed, and it was tough. And then I've taken losses and been like, hey, what can you do? Go on vacation, you know, the next day, and, you know, feel lucky and grateful either way. So I don't
think that happens often.
Where you're at, like where you're at in your life and what you kind of have in your life to fall back on. When fighting is the biggest thing in your life, which to get to the top, obviously you have to have a span of time where it is, and you're just only obsessed with fighting, only staring at a belt, visualizing all this. When that is your biggest thing, a loss can be devastating. But once you start living life and experience and have other things that mean more to you, that you love more than fighting, you know, the loss is never good, but it's a little easier to accept when you go home and you're like, can't dwell on this loss. I have a kid or, you know, a wife, or life goes on, you know. So, like I said, I think it's just where you're at in life, what you have that's bigger than fighting.
It seems like you always have a vacation after your fight. So tell us, where has Megan already planned for you guys to go?
We planned a little something, or we are planning it, but I don't know. I guess it'll wait to be seen. Last fight, we went to Thailand. I think another fight before that, we went to Bora Bora, which was excellent. I think we went to Cuba in between. So there's always something, you know, brewing. And, you know, Megan obviously works hard, and we love traveling. So we're trying to plan something else out. And but also, that's one of the things, too, I love, like, documenting as well and sharing with people. And I get, like, so inspired by traveling. It's another one of those things where – I go out there and I'm like so grateful that I'm doing this. Like, I'm a kid from New Mexico and I hadn't left hardly anywhere before I went to California to actually start fighting. And then, you know, I'm in Thailand doing stuff with my cool wife. And like, it just, that stuff just keeps you inspired. Also keeps things in perspective, keeps you grateful, because once you stop being grateful for like those things and just looking at them as nothing, then, you know, that's, I think, when you stop having fun and stop liking what you're doing. So I think it's a necessity for me, and she works so hard as well. So I think we'll probably have a good trip after this one, and then get back to it by the end of the year.
Joseph Benavidez, our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio, 27-5, fighting Juicy A. Formiga, 23-5, on June 29th. We still got about 3 weeks or so before this fight card, headlined by Francis Ngannou and Junior Dos Santos on big ESPN. Goes, what do you have for Jiu-Jitsu?
Joseph, we do a lot of interviews on this show, and a lot of times it's kind of the same things that come out of a fighter's mouth, just a different voice. And then we have people that stand out. You're one of the guys that stands out. You're a very unique individual, unique fighter. That being said, in the MMA game, have you ran across someone yet that kind of reminds you a little bit of you?
Oh, man, I love you guys right now. Honestly,
we love you too.
I love like everyone's individuality. Everyone's such an individual. Like, if you guys don't know, or the listeners don't know, like, I started this Dapper Scrappers like style blog, right? You guys know about that? Just taking pictures of guys' outfits, and I think that will always show their individuality. So I look at everyone as an individual, and everyone's so different. Like, we have so much characters in this world, but yeah, I mean, we can get kind of like lumped into this and concentrating on this and only talking about this, and this is our image. So that was a big reason of me why I started doing that, where I was just like, you know what, like, we can be seen in another light at some specific layers, and you realize like everyone's different. They dress different. They're not always just doing this and that. But to answer your question, two guys come to mind actually for that question that are just, you know, like a little more, you know, eccentric, peculiar, unique, or whatever. One would be one of my good friends, one of my best friends, actually, I'd say, Andre Feely. He's a trip, man. He's on another planet. Like, you know, he is one of the guys, he reminds me, like, you know, he's good at fighting, but if not, like, I mean, the guy, he raps, he rocks, he makes music. He has a ton of other interests, really unique interests as well, and he's one of those guys, like, you can talk to him about something, you know, not fight oriented, you know, just as long as you can talk about fighting, he's a guy. And then another guy that comes to mind as well is Khalil Roundtree.
Khalil Roundtree. Hey, that does make sense.
Well, yeah, I think both of guys are like, those are two guys where sometimes I look at them, I'm like, you know, like, that's really cool. That's just like, every time I see anybody, in the fight community, like something simple, like post an Instagram of them not training, I'm like, oh my God, this is great. Like, you know, like if it's just an Instagram of them not training and it's like something else interesting, I'm like, this is incredible. Like, I love seeing that. So, but yeah, Andre and Khalil, like, both really stand out to me. Like, we've talked and like had, you know, whatever you want to call it without being, you know, pretentious or whatever, like deep conversations about stuff, and those are guys we always talk about. And then I follow them on Instagram. I'm like, they generally interest me in other ways besides just like, oh, I'm not even looking at Khalil as a fighter right now, or Andre, because, you know, Andre just put a song on iTunes, and Khalil's making a comic book and making a playlist or something like that. So those guys are both really up there on the cool list for me.
Gotcha. Now, this fight coming up, you've been a part of a lot of rematches in your career, but has this one happened so far back that it really has somewhat of a fresh feel for you?
Yeah, it actually does. Funny enough, I did an interview earlier, and the guy told me that I fought Formiga 6 years ago, and I was telling everybody I fought him like 2 years ago, which is a big difference. That's like, so I fought him 3 times longer than I thought I had, but like, I don't pay attention to these things. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I beat him. Yeah, it was like 3-4 years ago. But apparently it's 6, which is a very long time. But it still has a fresh feel. some, like, he's ranked ahead of me now, so that's a whole nother thing. He's changed camps. I've changed, you know, a lot in my career and training as well, so we both have in that regard, but I still look at it as the same thing. We're, like, when we fought, we were at a similar spot in experience-wise, and now we're in a similar spots with our experience and growth since then. So it's not one of those things, like, I fought him so early in his career, now he's, you know, improved tremendously or something like that. Like, we're pretty much similar in our fights, you know, our years, our training, everything like that. And, you know, we're both improving and growing, and I don't see him, you know, making the strides long enough to, big enough strides, you know, to overcome me this time. I see a different fight. I mean, I might not knock him out in 2.5 minutes again, but I don't think there would be any question, you know, if it goes to decision or obviously the finish happens, like, who was the better fighter.
There you have it. One thing's for sure, this fight's not going to suck, man. Two of the best flyweights in the world mixing it up at UFC on ESPN3 on June 29th. There's not many of you hanging in there, but there's still a flyweight division, Joseph, and you two are some of the best going at it, man. So I can't wait for this, and then obviously whatever the future brings. I've racked my brain trying to figure it out. My vote is that you guys stay, but I honestly, yeah, I don't know what's going on, so why worry about it? Let's just let these fights play out, and then whatever happens, happens. It's not like you sucked as a bantamweight. You were pretty damn good there, too.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm taking. I'm like, all I know right now is there's a number one contender fight in front of me, and they're still a champion. They're still making fights. So until I'm told otherwise, then it's business as usual. Like, why make up something, you know, drastic and bad when you can make up something good, like winning and then winning the title later in the year? So that's what I'm kind of focusing on. But before that, it's like, I have a fight in front of me no matter what. There's obviously a 125-pound fight. So I like that thought process.
Now, you see that right there, Joseph? That's what's up. And we'll end on that. Thank you so much, sir, for letting us catch up with you. 3 weeks left in the camp.
Of course.
Have it be a safe way, and then obviously safe travels in Minneapolis, and good luck on the 29th. We'll be tuning in. Thanks, Joseph, for the time. Please say hello to Megan for us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll see you. Dapper Scrappers, by the way, on Instagram, at Dapper Scrappers, just like it sounds. Check it out. He takes pics of a lot of the fighters in our biz, you know, showing off their swag. On Twitter, at Jiu-Jitsu. We're going to go straight to our next guest. On Twitter, she is just like her name, Lillian Garcia, former ring announcer for the WWE. And now she's in Our Sport Goes. She's in MMA, and she's been working with PFL. And you can catch her this Thursday. Tomorrow, June 6th, at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It's week three of the second season, and she joins us now on the hotline. Hi, Lillian. How you doing? Welcome to MMA Junkie Radio.
Hi. It's such a pleasure to be here. Yes, I have done the jump. It feels good.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to have you on the show. We've been a fan of your work for many years. And I wanted to ask you right out of the gate, Lillian, can you describe the difference between when two combatants in pro wrestling are standing there and the crowd's going nuts, you know, and there's like a vibration in the arena? Like, describe that, like, magnetism, that electricity, that tension in the air as you're announcing their names versus now what you've started to experience in MMA, you know. These are some badasses in that PFL cage.
Yes. You know, it's funny because I didn't know what to expect when I came here. But then I was like, you know what? I'm open to everything. And just go in there and just give them a huge introduction and see what else happens, right? And that's the thing is that I love to do is one thing that I have found that I love about PFL is that, and I love doing it at WWE, I love doing those big championship introductions. In WWE, I would probably once a night could I do those big introductions when they're both in the ring and, you know, you're in this corner and that corner. But now with PFL, I get to do it for every single bout, which makes it so huge all night long. And it is the cage, too, because it's, you know, you're surrounded by it. So it feels like I'm in an elimination chamber cage or something. It's really cool, and it's kind of got that ominous feel to it, but you know that something very, very intense is about to take place.
Exactly. Something really primal. And look, we're fans of pro wrestling, but we also know that 99% of the time when the matches start, it takes for a while for it to build up until there's a finish or something happens. Whereas with MMA, I mean, blood can be spilled within the first 15 seconds.
Or 10 seconds like last week.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that was amazing.
You can't do any double takes. You're like, what? What just happened? Oh, my gosh. I just sat down in my seat.
I literally sat down in my seat. I look up. And I see Abulayev kick, you know, and all of a sudden it was like, wait, it's done? And I just grabbed my next card, and I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't even have time to, like, reset. It was crazy.
It sure is. And have you become glued to either the submission or the knockout, or if you want to call it the striking and the grappling? Like, do you favor the excitement on, you know, either type of fighter?
I favor the diversity of the night. I favor that at one moment you could get a knockout, at one moment it could be submission, at one moment it's done in the first round, and another you're going all three rounds. So, you know, and you're getting a split decision or unanimous decision, you're trying to figure it all out. So I like the fact that the whole night is just there's variety, and it's exciting.
How big of an MMA fan were you before you even got the call from PFL? Like, was it right down your alley, or is it something where you had to kind of become familiar with our sport?
Well, I definitely had to become familiar, but I started getting into it a little bit when Brock Lesnar made the jump. Obviously, you know, you start going, wait, what's going on here, right? It kind of opened up the door of a wrestler going into the MMA, whether you like him or not. It was really cool to see that jump. And then for us at you know, the WWE, it kind of opened up our eyes. So then I liked McGregor. There were some other ones that I was like, this is really cool. I just like combat sports in general. I mean, I grew up watching wrestling. I watched wrestling as a kid with my dad. And my dad used to be a boxer when he was in the Army. Mm-hmm. So I grew up, you know, with that in my life, which is why it was very natural when PFL called. I'm like, this is awesome. Absolutely, I want to do this.
Which journey did you enjoy more, Brock going from pro wrestling to MMA or Ronda coming over from MMA to have a hand in?
Yeah, right? There's that jump. I mean, you really can't compare the two, but it's exciting to see that they both came over, because it is cool to see, can they go over? Like, we found out that there were some other wrestlers that couldn't make the jump, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, too, because I remember Ronda saying something about the schedule in WWE, and she's like, oh, my God, this schedule, you know, because it's over 300 dates. So I think every organization has something different, has its, you know, has its ups and its downs, and it's, can I handle this, or can I handle the schedule, or can I handle how tough it is, or can I, you know, so it's pretty cool to see both things.
Lillian Garcia is our guest here on MMA Junkie Radio. She will be the in-ring announcer tomorrow night, PFL 2019, week 3. Tomorrow we have heavyweights and light heavyweights with a main event of Vinny Magalhães against Emiliano Sordi. You can watch the fights on ESPN2 starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. Then they move over to ESPN Plus, 9 p.m. Eastern. Same home as the UFC. All right, let me turn it over to Goz, the co-host. Goz, what do you have for Lillian Garcia?
Lillian, when is your first opportunity to kind of gauge the energy in the arena and you know, have all that play out?
You mean when I first arrive in the, you're saying at the beginning of the night?
What is that like first moment where you can say, okay, I can see the level of the energy in this arena and how people are reacting, and I need to counter this way?
Well, I mean, I feel like as soon as the whole show starts, because this is so different, right? I don't know how it would, especially when I first started. I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea. And even when I was in the arena and the show was going on, I was like, how is this playing out on TV? And when I got to watch it back, then I was like, oh, I understand all the facets that are going on, you know, to make this all happen. And that's the thing, is that I love now doing both. I love being in the arena and being part of the energy that's there, that's taking place. But then I love it when I get to go home and watch it from that side of it, too. And I watch the entire thing. I don't fast forward through the fight, because I'm watching it in one way when I'm watching, you know, at ringside. And then when I go home and I get to see it, you know, with close-ups and all, I get to see it from a different angle. So that's what's made it so much more enjoyable.
Lillian, your voice is so important to what you do. Are there any tricks that you do? Like, how do you maintain? How do you take care of your voice? Are there anything, certain things you like to drink before a fight or before an event?
Oh, boy, do I ever take care of my voice. Oh, my God, that is one thing that I would just say. When you use your voice, especially as much as I do, with not only announcing, but then with the podcast and then with singing, it is a daily regimen. Like, this is my instrument, right? This is my sport. And how athletes take care of their bodies, I definitely have to take care of my vocal cords. One thing is I can't be in if I'm in a room that's way too dry or has any kind of mold, let's say, that starts shutting down. So I have to immediately get out of those rooms. So what might be normal to somebody, or they're like, I feel a little stuffy. For me, I definitely have to take care and drink a lot of water. I used to do a lot of like lemon and water, but I found out how drying lemon is, so I don't recommend that.
Really?
Throat coat, yeah. No,
oh, wow.
Lemon is very acidic. Very acidic. So throat coat is a great tea. Throat coat actually coats your throat. It really does do what it says. You want to create an environment. Neti pot is also really good. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but
yeah,
it is like saline
pot, yeah.
Water. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's very helpful because you don't want to have anything that's really drying out your voice and drying out your membranes. So drinking lots of water. Foods are very important as well. I keep a very strict diet. So that's why I say, even though it's just the vocal cords, it's almost like I train like an athlete for a sporting event.
Right.
From the things that I eat as well. I don't eat very close to nighttime because that's really hard on the acid and creating acid reflux to your vocal cords.
Whoa,
and then
okay.
The specific, there's some foods that are very acidic and very heavy. And so I stay away from that completely.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was just going to be like the water with lemon or something. But, I mean,
no.
This is 24-7. You're thinking about it and taking care of it.
You know what made me ask that question? This is going to sound so ridiculous.
Andy?
Huh?
Andy from Santana?
No. This is going to be dumb. But you know the baby thing on Snapchat that you can – I was doing videos making a baby's voice and sending them to my friends. And in the morning, I woke up, and my voice was starting to go away.
It was strange.
Yeah.
And when you told me Lillian Garcia was going to be on the show, I was like, if I can't get through pretending to be a baby for 10 minutes, how can she be screaming at that level the way she was doing, like, Bruce Buffer?
Well,
how do you guys do it?
300 times a year.
But that's the thing. Thank God I've had vocal training as a singer. I think that's definitely helped me. So when I breathe, or when I have, you know, when I do those introductions, you'll see, I'm definitely getting everything from the diaphragm. I am not grabbing any of my air or sounds from my throat. So when you were trying to do your baby sounds, it was all in your throat, which is why it hurt you.
Oh.
And, of course, you're not going to go from the diaphragm because then that baby's going to sound really weird.
It's true.
So,
all right, so there you have it.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a 101.
And speaking of the podcast, it's called Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia. It looks like it drops on Mondays. Very consistent. Subscribe on iTunes the same way we tell you all, hey, jump on the MMA Junkie on iTunes. Same thing. Jump on Chasing Glory with Lillian Garcia. Sean O'Connell, who will be a guest of ours later on in the show, he was a recent guest of ours.
Yes.
Eve Torres, Dave Bautista. I see a lot of big names here. So check it out, folks. And don't forget to leave her a 5-star review. It helps us all with the algorithm.
Thank you.
All right, so Lillian, thank you so much for stopping by and jumping on the show with us. It was really great.
Pleasure.
I mean, my eyes popped out of my eye socket when I read Lillian Garcia had been signed by the PFL, and this, you know, this was a big spring for the PFL because they had the ESPN announcement, and then you know, they brought you aboard, and you know, some of the big free agent signings that they had. I thought that was really, really cool. We've been championing the PFL. For a few years now, even back when they were WSOF, I think they're doing outstanding. I'm glad you're part of it.
Isn't it fun? Look, even for somebody like me that's kind of getting into the MMA world for the first time, isn't it amazing to be able to have an organization like this that has a regular season, has the playoffs, and has a championship? I mean, that's something that gives us something to follow and root, and to give away $6 million, $1 million in every division. And then to have the women, the first time ever, 155-pound, and that's incredible. There's just so many firsts in this, and that's why when they came to me, I was like, I have to be a part of this. So it was a no-brainer.
Awesome.
So excited to be
a part
of it.
That's great. That's great for them, and you're right. They got the 155-pound division had some pretty good fights, man.
Mm-hmm.
We were watching them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not just Kayla Harrison. She's going to have some competition, and it's going to play out really nice.
Lillian, watch out for Sarah
thank you
Kaufman.
So much for the time. And for sure. She's a former Strikeforce bantamweight champion, longtime UFC competitor. She's got some skills. So I think there's going to be a couple there that can definitely challenge Kayla.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them that have very much impressed me from the men and the women. So it's going to be very exciting tomorrow night. So I hope everybody will tune in tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, ESPN2, 7 p.m. Eastern. ESPN Plus, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much, Lillian, for stopping
by
the MMA Junkie Radio Show. We really appreciate it. Nice.
Appreciate you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, folks. On Twitter, @ Lillian Garcia. Again, Joseph Benavidez, @ Jiu-Jitsu. The Show, @ MMA Junkie Radio. I'm @ MMA Junkie George. Goes is @ The Goes. What's yours, Andre?
@ Keto.
Way to go, Andre.
I think he's saying bye to Lillian.
Oh, is he? Okay. All right, we'll come back after this break. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, channel 156.
Good, you're still here. The boys are just getting warmed up. Now the real show begins. Take it away, boys.
Tomorrow's opening matchup for the PFL has Bazigit Ateyev versus Dan Spahn. Spahn was on the reality show The Ultimate Fighter, and Ateyev was one of my favorite fighters from PFL season one. Like, you know, everybody was gravitating towards Vinny and Ray Cooper and a few of the other fighters that were, you know, doing great, like Lance Palmer. But that Bagazet Ateyev, he just doesn't have the look of a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got prominent gray hair. But goes, he's got hands, man. Beautiful hands. He knows how to box. He's got a lot of power, and he just generates it. He's not the most cut or biggest heavyweight out there, but he's fun. I'm telling you, it must feel like a cinder block because everyone he swatted could feel it. So that's the opening bout on ESPN2. Jordan Johnson, undefeated in the UFC as well, his overall career. He's 10-0. You know, he's debuting. Francimar Barroso, seen him fight many times, versus Alex Nicholson. Hani Marks, he's back. Rakeem Cleveland, who's been a guest of our show, he's back. Jared Rochalt, he's back. Rochalt went like 6-7-2 in the UFC. Satoshi Ishii was one of their signings.
That's fun.
Kelvin Tiller, great in and out of the cage. We spoke to him last night. Check out, see if you can read up a little bit about the work he does in his community in Topeka, Kansas. And then, of course, Vinny Magalhaes versus Emiliano Sordi. So 205 and heavyweight in effect tomorrow night.
I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to try not to offend you.
Okay.
The fighters that don't appear to look like fighters, say like you're Roy Nelson, mm-hmm. right? Do you gravitate to them if they have like a beer belly? Or, like, in my case, right, I'm a shorter guy. Hey, Joseph Benavidez, we're about the same height, but he's doing it. He's Latino. You know how people tend to do that?
Mm-hmm.
The beer drinkers love Roy Nelson, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. There used to be a guy that played for Italy that had, like, this giant bald spot. People would root for him. He was, like, 30, and he had almost no hair.
Okay. For soccer?
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Do you ever gravitate to those type of fighters because of that?
Yeah, but it's by individual cases, meaning the fight itself. So if I'm cheering for Nelson, all right, he's got a belly. I got a belly. Cool. Mm-hmm. He's fighting some dude that's jacked. But if the dude that's jacked, if I'm a fan of him, and I've just, you know, maybe this is a guy that's made me some money, then it could be that maybe that guy is who I root for that night and not Roy. I don't really wind up hating or anyone other than those 15 or 25 minutes where I put my money down or shook someone's hand. Hey, betting a beer or betting Chipotle or betting In-N-Out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, one moment I can be rooting for someone. The next moment I can be rooting for someone else. It's nothing personal. My picks are never personal. It's just the way it plays out, you know. Yeah.
I never run into that.
You?
But yeah. I mean, I never feel that way. But a couple times, and I remember this one, Felix Trinidad when he fought Oscar De La Hoya. I was rooting for Felix Trinidad. He's one of my favorite boxers because I love his technique, the way he approached fights. But I had a friend go, wasn't your dad Mexican? Why aren't you rooting for Oscar De La Hoya? I was like, fool, I ain't like Italian. Like, I don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But I would notice that a lot of people would just root for a fighter because of their ethnicity.
Well, yeah, there's a few that I have that I'm just never going to go against. The problem is in MMA, they kind of all fight each other, whereas those other collision courses, like in boxing, mm-hmm. they can be pretty rare, you know. But for the most part, I just hope they have a good fight. Neither guy gets hurt. Maybe they share the bonus if it goes the distance. And if not, then may the next guy be back sooner rather than later. Like, I really like James Vickers, and those those losses he's taken sucks, you know. But I hope he wins his next one, you know. And so, yeah.
Can we share the conundrum we were in with our breakdown video the other day? Is that all right to share?
Yeah, I think so, because it's honest.
So George and I and Dan Tom, we do these breakdown videos on MMAJunkie.com. And every now and again, we end up with two fighters that we are somewhat attached to. This particular time, right after she left the studio, Jessica, we had a great interview with her. She was here for about a little bit over an hour.
Super cool.
Super
confident.
Cool.
She's ready, man. It's going to be a great fight.
She's fighting Valentina Shevchenko. We had to do a breakdown video where we had to break down the fight and pick one. Here's the deal, though. Jessica I trains at Extreme Couture. That's our home gym. It's 5 minutes away. Okay, we know Eric Nixick, who came with her. He's gone on a couple military trips with us before. We've hung out outside of the studio. She's a Manchester United fan. She's just a really cool girl. And she sat here and really won us over.
And we wished her luck, man. Don't get hurt in your last workouts. Have a safe flight. Go out there and have a cracker of a fight. But, yes, we had to stand here 30 minutes later and break down the fight, their strengths, their weaknesses. But eventually one of their names had to roll off our tongue as far as, like, well, who do we think is going to win the fight? Mm-hmm. And it was tough to just get to that point because even though we're supposed to have a layer of ethics, you know, and, that's just something that has worked differently for Goza and I. We came into the sport a little bit differently, and so we've always maintained just, I guess, a different level of ethics. Well, whatever, and I don't feel guilty about it one bit because I'm open about it. But Valentina went on a trip with us.
She went on a military trip with us.
She shares a nationality with us as well on our mom's side.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just so kind. I mean, she's been very, very cool. I think she's also felt a connection. She's one of the few fighters that's brought the belt here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So just because they're cool and everything, I just come into grips with, I just got to do my job, you know. And one of the big difference makers was just one of them's been in those big title fights and the other one hasn't. It doesn't have that kind of experience, and I think that could make a difference, and I think that's valid.
I think we'll always call it straight, but we won't lie that they're like, I mean, George,
right.
Really, like, you knew who Valentina Shevchenko was before anyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a unique story. Since Andre just told you all we have 2 minutes, I'll finish with that. I have a cousin in Peru who told me he trains at the same gym as this Russian gal, and that she's phenomenal and has an incredible Muay Thai record. But after he looked her up he realized that she had a past in MMA and she wanted to get back into it. And I told him, well, that's great. You know, he sent me some video, but I saw Valentina Shevchenko in that video, and I was like, whoa, those are some skills. And then she had the nice, cool dance afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, man, maybe this young lady could do well. And I looked her up as well. She had a loss to Carmouche, like, in 2005 or 2008 or something. Stayed away from the sport, did Muay Thai, wanted to get back in. And so a few of the promoters we knew, we were like, hey, you know, there's this young lady out there making some noise, and she's got some skills. And if you guys are ever looking to, you know, maybe look for your version of an ultimate fighter, some new blood, maybe take a look at this one. And we got laughed at pretty much, like, yeah, dude, if they're somebody, we know about them. All right, cool. Brought it up to one more time. Yeah. And the next thing you know, she popped up at LFC before they were LFA. She did her thing there, then she came over to the UFC, and now she's a world champion.
Yeah.
So how about that one? That's so crazy. All right, folks. It's the top of the hour break. We'll be back in 60 seconds. However, when we come back, Emily Whitmire will not be with us because I just received a message that we're going to have to postpone and reschedule with her. But it's going to happen either tomorrow or next week, so don't worry. We'll get to talk to her. She's fighting on the same card as Joseph Benavidez. She's a real cool chick, also fighting out of Extreme Couture. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, channel 156.
things are all square in the NBA Finals.
Warriors 109, Raptors 104. The finals are all even.
Steph Curry's second half surge and Andre Iguodala's clutch three-pointer led the Warriors to a bounce-back win in Game 2.
Andre, he's open, launches a three, buried it! He buried it with 5.9 to go!
Iguodala wide open, former Finals MVP, and he threw a dagger.
With Kevin Durant already on the mend, now sharpshooter Klay Thompson's status is also in doubt for Golden State.
Klay said he'll be fine, but, you know, he pulled his hamstring. He thinks it's minor, so I don't know what that means going forward.
For Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors, winning a game in Oakland will be no easy task.
We still got to go out and make shots and guard guys that's out there.
In Game 3, with either a gimpy Klay Thompson or a Klay Thompson that will not be there, you cannot let the Golden State Warriors win this game and feel good about themselves.
Game 3 starts tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Hear nonstop coverage of the NBA Finals on NBA Radio, Sirius 207 XM 86, and anytime on demand by searching NBA Radio.
For a white guy. All jokes aside, George and Goz are some of the best chicks I know. Here we go with more verbal sparring. Take it away, ladies.
The NBA Finals is really going to tip off right now on ABC. Kevin Durant is still out for the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson is probable. But man, a hamstring's a hamstring. Can he be 100%? I don't know. The Warriors, by the way, are -5.5 and 211. Raptors come back at +5.5. What am I thinking? It's not a money line. So, anyway, enjoy that, folks. I'm sure we'll be keeping an eye on it here. I already see Mike Breen from ESPN getting ready to introduce his co-broadcasters and get this thing underway. All right. So, we mentioned Emily Whitmire. We saw she was teased on the preview, but we're going to have to reroute her to a show tomorrow, possibly, or next week. So, let's have a little bit of fun and talk a few other things. First of all, goes, did you see Tony Ferguson kind of addressing those that have shown a little bit of concern for him, you know, for the problems that he had outside the cage?
I thought it was a little strange. I understand the situation he's in, but I think he probably could have gone about it a different way, maybe. Mm-hmm. I had an incident. Guys, that sounds so stupid. I was hiking, and I fell. And I've been around a lot of people when that happens. They don't like it when you come up to them and go, "Are you okay?" And because they say it draws attention to them and they hate it. Mm-hmm. I can see where he, like, hearing that over and over, "Hey, is everything okay? Are you all right?" Where it just brings everything back again. Mm-hmm. And it's probably more annoying than it is helpful. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are some people in this world where bad things can happen to you and they just don't have people in their lives to give a shit. And that's probably a way worse feeling. So you have to enjoy the fact that there are people that actually give a crap about
you. I love the way you broke it down. So what you're saying is if you fall and people come and they draw attention, you might be like, "Arr." Mm-hmm. But on a scale of 1 to 10, that's like 5 out of 10. Like, I wish you wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
However, if you fell and no one said anything, the feeling of like, damn, nobody even gave a shit about me, that's exceeds the 5 out of 10, worse. Thereby making it worse. And mm-hmm. You should just come to the person and say, "You're all right." Simple as that.
So, I mean, I get where he's coming from, but I don't know that was the best.
Well, here's what he said, all right? I'm going to read it for you, and I'm going to have to clean it up a little bit. But, you know, basically the question was coming from the media, is he fit to fight, you know, or I mean, not necessarily like that, but how he addresses, you know, the fans and of the sport, those that think there might be still a question mark. He says, "I tell them to F off." He said the whole F word. I'm just going to clean it up here. Stop worrying about, I guess in this case it'd be shit you can't handle, man. It's not your effing problem, I imagine here. It just says expletive. You really want to effing worry about how I am? Buy my effing pay-per-view. Send me some money. Send me whatever. I don't give a shit. But quit asking dumbass questions. You want me? All right, I'm going to stop right there because you guys get the point.
Yeah.
This past May, Ferguson's wife filed a restraining order and indicating she wasn't scared of her husband. She was scared for her husband. He had some mental health crisis. It's all on MMA Junkie if you want to go back and look at it. But he's looked after himself. His team has looked after himself, and he's proclaimed himself ready to fight. And the UFC also checked him out, and they feel confident in him to send him out there. But here's the part that bugs me a little. Not too much, but just the contradiction. There was a point, like after day three or four, where he posted something on social media, thank you for all the messages. It means a lot. So if somebody just maybe isn't that type, but read that and thought, man, I should have shot him a text or maybe checked in on him, and then gets told, they'd be like, well, come on. Like, I don't understand your vibe here. Like, what are you saying? You know what I mean? Yes. So that's the only thing that threw me off. And I think he still could have said, hey, I appreciate everyone's concern, but going forward, drop it. You know, I'm good. Tune in on Saturday. But
perfect.
Those F-bombs and yeah.
If I had that stance, that same stance, and I went on the air today and I said, don't ever ask me about that, or I'm going to say this or whatever. I have a family, okay? I don't have kids. But if my mom told me that she went to somebody who was going through something and told them, hey, I hope you're doing okay, and they told her that, that would bug me. So if that would bug me, how can I expect it not to bug everyone else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's just a little rough around the edges sometimes. That's all. A lot of these fighters are. I'm not saying I don't have my bad days, but he had to know that that question or a variation of that question was coming, and I think he just could have had something that now doesn't send another round of shockwaves throughout the industry. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, maybe not shockwaves, but just yeah, maybe there'll be follow-up to this. You know, there's been a backlash to what you said to the fans. How do you address them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, here comes more and more, another wave of insults, inquiries, questions, whatever.
Here is the part that sucks for the fighters. This is very, very public, okay? But Tony is actually one of, like, the nicest dudes. Like, I remember one New Year's he sent me a text that was just like, hey, what's your New Year's resolution this year or whatever. I don't know him that well, you know? But that was very nice. Not every fighter does something like that. And so there's times where he's super cool, too, but people always remember the bad stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's what sucks about being in the public eye.
He, wait, I just forget my point. Oh, he used to do the show via the phone. He was in studio once with Uriah Hall. We had a blast. But he used to do the show a lot during the phone, like 1 month out before his fight. And goes, I remember at least two, maybe three times going, dude, I'm pumped right now his fight, because he had such an intensity in his voice and how serious his camp was going and how serious he's taking his opponent. You know what I mean? You just felt like, wow, this guy really gives a crap about the lead up. Like, he's got championship material. And I know I'm not crazy, because every time he did that, there would be at least a handful of texts, DMs from listeners I don't hear from that often, who would say, man, just heard Ferguson. I echo what you say. I feel the same way. Homeboy got me all pumped up, and it's three fights a week. So he has a little bit of that. He has a little bit of that charisma, intensity that molded together that gets fans fired up. But when he goes off the end of maybe just like me vale madres mode, oh, God, it doesn't come off well, because I don't think that's him. The expression, you know, that he chooses to go, it's just not him.
Do you often say things that later on you regret? Often. I'm sure everybody does. But does that happen often enough where
I
you
don't
go,
say
man,
enough
I
stuff
start.
That I regret? And I keep it bottled in, and so when I do go off, I tend to possibly go too far. And then I regret not saying it earlier, not addressing it earlier and getting to that point. But I don't think I hurt people. I just like troll or tease, but I don't think I hurt people. What I will do though is be so sarcastic, but it's only to match something you said that was ridiculous, and to show you don't try and fool me, because I'm not a fool, and this is what I think you did. And so I try and do something, you know, that'll match what you said, but maybe in a sarcastic tone.
See, I do the opposite. I like to let people do stupid things and continuously do it, because it makes me laugh even more. The fact that they think I'm not catching on to them. And then I just laugh about it. I don't like to match their intensity, because then it gives it away that
Well, because some people just don't catch sarcasm. So I think you have to sometimes be overly.
Well, I think eventually they figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like to just sit back and watch.
Like I've had callers call in and go, "Man, that hit wasn't that hard." And then I say, "You're begging someone to do it to you."
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep talking. That means they didn't even catch it. But
yeah, they wouldn't get that.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, okay, so I got to do something a little bit different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let's have a little bit of fun here. We have a little bit of time to fill because we got a quick opening here with the rescheduling of Emily Whitmire. Joseph Benavidez has that Dapper Scrappers Instagram. Pull it up. Tell okay. me who you think. Tell me who you – just scroll and look at the first – 50 picks. There's three per row, so you got to go like 18, 17 rows and then stop. And then somebody will stand out to you and go, okay, that guy, that one's got a little bit of class, a little bit of style, and let's see if we match up a little bit. So, folks, on Twitter, I guess it would be at www.instagram.com/DapperScrappers. If you're listening on SiriusXM connected devices and speakers, you can do this along with us. And if not, maybe when you get home, pull it up and check it out. But who seems to have some style, Goes? Or
well, I mean, I guess this is the opposite of what you just asked, but doesn't Alan Joban look like IRS from the WWE? Right here, look at the...
Yeah, I see it. A little bit, yeah, but he needs the briefcase, and I think yeah, I think he's got a little bit more style than IRS, but yeah, a little bit.
Hmm.
What about Kamaru Usman? He's like the he's in the second row down,
mm-hmm.
and he's in the third row down. He's got two different types of jackets, but yeah, like he's so far out there that I think it's actually a style in itself. He's rocking the bow tie. What do you think?
I'm not feeling it. I feel like the dad from Boomerang flipped his jacket inside out and said, "I'll wear it like this instead." I'll go with what is
he the one that likes chitlins?
Yeah, that guy.
Sean O'Malley. I mean, it's nothing I would wear, but do you see how he stands out and he's got a look? He is down on the fifth row, I believe.
He's wearing like a Michael Jackson jacket with no shirt, right?
Yeah, and if you scroll, you'll find another one of him. Cowboy Cerrone really, really rocks pretty.
I like Francis Ngannou. That's different.
Uh huh.
That's cool.
Yeah, Kevin Lee's got some pretty cool picks. Cerrone's had some pretty cool picks. Aljamain Sterling looks like he could be a pretty good dresser, but the two I've seen here, he's very, very casual.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Carla Esparza dressed pretty cool in one of her picks. You have to go about 20 rows down. But it's pretty cool. Check it out, folks. You'll have a little bit of fun with it. Dapper Scrappers. Valentina Shevchenko also comes up with some pretty cool outfits. I think she puts a little bit of thought into it, as does Karolina Kowalkiewicz.
I like the way Anthony Smith kind of dresses up because he makes it
seem... Izzy? Yeah, yeah, Smith.
Yeah, like he's a...
Engineer.
The Clark Kent version of the superhero.
Yeah. Yeah. At Dapper Scrappers, check it out. I think you guys will definitely like it. You got Sean O'Connell coming up here in about 15 minutes. And also, UFC 238 is on Saturday. Goz and I will be back on the Sportscaster. It's a pay-per-view. All right, and the pay-per-views start at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Goz and I will try and get in there a little bit early, but for sure, count on those five fights, including a main event of Henry Cejudo, the UFC flyweight champion, against Marlon Moraes, the UFC bantamweight number one contender. They'll be fighting for the vacant bantamweight title. TJ Dillashaw relinquished that earlier this year. In the co-main event, you got Valentina Shevchenko defending her UFC flyweight title versus... Jessica Evil Eye, who's 3-0 since dropping to 125. So that one's going to be a solid fight as well. And, of course, the people's main event, Cowboy Cerrone. Donald Cowboy Cerrone at it again. He's going to be fighting Tony Ferguson. El Cucuy is back. This is the featured bout. So the third one from the top. It's going to be nice, man. You go to sportscaster.com/MMA junkie and take a look. If you feel like... the times you've caught our watch-alongs or fight companions, whatever you want to call it, and you've dug them, you can do it as well on Sportscaster by creating an account. Sportscaster. Choose the Sportscaster. Be the Sportscaster.
Did your heart sink a little bit when you saw that report about Henry Cejudo?
Yeah. Well, a little bit. That and the text you were reading, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he had a scrum ever since then, and... and said it was just a little bump that he got. I think he hit the edge of something in a gym, which is the equivalent of us walking and hitting our shins on the corner of the bed or something like that, right? But
yeah,
these fights are so important. That
pre-fight
like,
knee injury, and you're like, whoa. It's like all of a sudden your eyes are focused on those four words, pre-fight knee injury. You got to dive into the story and go, wait, let's unpack this. What's the deal? Oh, okay, still fighting. It's not serious. Oh, okay.
Now, if this were ever the card for that to happen,
oh boy,
it's probably
just
this
talking about
one,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you'd still be happy if you were a ticket holder, but still.
Oh no, I thought you meant if there was ever a card where that would kind of
where this would be
make
okay.
Your heart skip a beat. I thought you meant because Ferguson's on it, and he had a problem.
Oh no! I just meant like you'd still be left with some pretty good matchups, pretty fun matchups actually.
John Lineker and Rob Font. They are going to co-headline UFC on ESPN plus 12 in South Carolina. The other day, Lineker was bitching. Mm-hmm. He's got another job. He says he just needs to fight more. He doesn't fight often, and he wants to fight and put some money away.
Or let me go, he said, right?
Yeah, he maintains a job. And anyway, he would like to fight more frequently, and I guess they must have been listening because they got him, Rob Font. The guys from PFL weighed in, and it looks like everyone but one fighter made weight. So there's six light heavyweight bouts and six heavyweight bouts. So I'm looking for heavyweights under 265. Got them. And I'm looking for light heavyweights under 206. Well, I guess it should be really 266 and 206. The only one that didn't make weight was Honey Marks, who was going down to 205. He weighed in at 211.8. No, if I'm not mistaken, he still fights. He just gets limited on the amount of points he can put away, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
all right.
Sucks.
Uh-huh.
I said that sucks because,
I wonder if they shut him down, you know, like at some point they're like, hey, man, just start rehydrating. Mm-hmm. So or did he actually step on the scale like that?
I think he probably got shut down at some point.
You would think that's the safer route. I hope those points don't come back to bite him, but, you know, they all have the same proper notice. They all knew when the off season ended and when they'd be fighting, so it's not much we can say.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Tony Ferguson had one other thing to say. He says Khabib Nurmagomedov is being a copycat for asking for the George St. Pierre fight. I like how he's kind of pushing Khabib a little bit. And maybe making sure that he's back on Khabib's radar. Khabib's the undisputed. And if Khabib beats Dustin, I think Tony Ferguson has a strong claim to fighting next.
Do you feel like that sort of call-out is more money-driven or more legacy-driven?
Ferguson?
No. Khabib wanting GSP.
Legacy? Yeah, because I think Conor's the biggest fight. And to say, if I just dominated someone and it was my highest payout ever, why wouldn't I go, yeah, he wants to run it back, let's do it. Same thing with Floyd. I would think he'd be wanting the same thing. He wants to box me again? Sure, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's so much disdain there that he probably doesn't want to give him that payday. In fact, those words came out of Conor's mouth in the past as well, that I think now maybe he'd be focused on someone else. So, yeah, it's a little bit of legacy driven.
At 170, who wins that fight?
George St. Pierre.
He can't make 155. So let's just say 165. Who wins that fight?
I think George would.
The last time we saw him, he took out Michael Bisping.
I know. George isn't as easy to take down. Hell, George may take you down. And George's stand-up, I think, is just more polished than Khabib's. But George is older. Khabib's fresher. So if they fought at 55, I'd probably say Khabib. But at 70, I think GSP. Pick somewhere in the middle, 162.5, I guess. Then maybe I do start to lean about with Khabib. But just GSP's just a bigger, thicker guy, and he's got a lot of strengths where Khabib does as well. You? What would you say?
I feel like 170, maybe 165, I'm still at GSP. But anything below that, give me Khabib. If there's one guy that's proven that layoffs just don't really seem to matter too much, it's GSP. He seems like a guy that doesn't really get in there unless unless he feels comfortable with it.
Did you see Angela Hill's the first fighter to get to 3 fights this year?
No.
It's only June. By the time she fights, it'll be June 8th, and this will be her 3rd fight.
Nice.
That's a pace of literally 6 fights in a year. I'm sure she'll tail off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's literally gotten the 3 fights in...
Well, one of them was really short notice, right?
Mm-hmm. She subbed in for Jessica Penny on one of them, and now she's subbing in for Felice Herrig.
It's not like you feel like you had that long training camp or anything for that one, so that's just nice, you know, that slipped in that way.
What do you think of James Vick versus Dan Hooker?
I like it. I like James Vick. I think that it wasn't so much that he ran into fighters that were that much better than him. I think he just kind of had mental lapses in some of those fights. It's a tough division. I mean, you're going to run into some beasts. But I really think he can dial things down. And I think eventually you're going to see him move up in weight.
Here's what the fight card looks like so far. Wait a minute. Yeah, lightweight. Okay. The fight card is Hooker versus Vic. Liz Carmouche versus Roxanne Modafferi. Walt Harris versus Alexei Olenek, Irene Aldana versus Raquel Pennington, Alex Caceres versus Steve Peterson, Clidson Abreu versus Sam Alvey, Felipe Colares versus Domingo Pilardi, Mario Batista versus Jin Soo Sun, Andre Arlovsky versus Ben Rothwell, Juan Adams versus Greg Hardy, Ray Borg versus Gabriel Silva. In San Antonio. I think the tickets just went on sale, or this is their week of the sale.
I've always wanted to go back there.
And the fight card takes place July 20th, at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas. It's called UFC on ESPN4.
What's the venue?
The AT&T Center.
Oh, so where the Spurs play?
I imagine.
They don't do Alamo Dome anymore?
Well, that might be anything? It. They might have just changed the name, I think. I don't know.
No. Alamo Dome was the one where, remember... A lot of teams didn't like to play because they said it didn't even feel like an arena the way it was laid out.
Yeah.
AT&T is the one that looks like Costco from the outside.
I don't know which one's the Alamo Dome or what it is. Hang on. Let me see here. Now you got my curious.
Well, I think it was. Yeah, that's what it was called, right? The Alamo Dome? I remember the Lakers hated going there.
They host... Don't they host like Final Fours and all that? The facility opened in 1993, and it's now called the AT&T Center, because it's the same thing.
Nah, dude, this I'm pretty sure of, because I remember when we got into San Antonio, I remember
our
cousin, or whatever this place was called, I think it's a different place, because I remember it was more like downtown.
Oh, okay.
We drove past
it. Well, where they're fighting, the AT&T Center, when it opened, it was called the Alamo Dome. Now, we may have seen something else, but you and I went to the Alamo Dome for the Lakers versus the Spurs. Anyway, it's a good card. I could see a lot of junkies being at this one. There's a, you know, like Rothwell versus Arlovsky. That's interesting. Hardy versus Adams. Boy, that's got a narrative. Vic is always fun to watch. So is Hooker. Carmouche and Modafferi. Nice. Walt Harris and Olenek. Ray Borg is back versus Gabriel Silva. I like it, man. I'm not hating on it one bit. All right. Sean O'Connell is going to be joining us pretty soon, so I think we better duck out right now and pay some bills. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the PFL card taking place tomorrow night, Nassau Coliseum out in Uniondale, New York. So you often hear Long Island. That's where they're at, where the Islanders are from. Stay close. We'll be right back. It's MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation, channel 156.
You can now tune in to all of your favorite shows on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Just say, Alexa, listen to SiriusXM Fight Nation.
Okay.
Try to be best, because you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got to hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of round number 3, the corner of Magalhães' request, this bout come to a stop.
declaring your winner by TKO, the winner of $1 million and new PFL light heavyweight champion of the world, the real OC, Sean O'Connor!
Both iPhone and Android carry a feature to make their show more enjoyable. It's called the mute button. Here are those two numbnuts, Gorgeous George and Goes.
Let's get right to it.
How do you not get fired up about that?
I know. I bet you he's second-guessing himself right now. Has he heard that?
Yeah.
And it is light heavyweight week. Sean O'Connell's probably like, damn, man, I should have got back in this. What's up, Real OC? How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I love the sound of that highlight. You play that over and over again.
Wasn't that cool?
Yeah. Any second guesses?
Not yet. I mean, I'm going to be watching cage side tomorrow night when the heavyweights and the light heavyweights are squaring off at PFL 3. And I got to believe that that will stir up my loins a little bit. But I'm gonna stay the course. I'm going to do the smart thing. I'm going to stay retired unless something crazy happens. But we'll just stay the course for now.
Anybody that was close to you, when you said you were retiring, was there a reaction, oh, man, versus like, oh, good for you, bro, congrats?
I mean, no one that was actually really close to me, because – people that are really close to me have seen, you know, I'm not a guy who talks about my injuries publicly, and I didn't make a big deal out of it, all that stuff. But people that were close to me saw kind of the day in and day out, the back problems and all that stuff. So I think most people that actually have been part of my life were like, oh, it's probably good. Good job.
Gotcha.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, I blame you for all this. All this is what, George? All this is, I'll tell you what it is, Sean O'Connell. You started a wave of light heavyweight retirements. You retired a few months ago. Alexander Gustafsson, Jimmy Manoa, King Mo, all noted light heavyweights retiring here, man, in the span of like less than half of a year.
Thanks a lot, Sean.
Yeah, I tell you what, I hope I didn't start that trend, because it has depleted what is already a pretty thin weight class worldwide. And
a little bit, yeah.
I didn't like seeing that any more than you guys did. I mean, it's tough, especially, I mean, Alexander Gustafsson is 32 years old, and he's only fighting the top guys in the world. I mean, when's the last time he had a bout against someone outside of the top five? It's really easy to let your perspective on where you belong and how good you are in the game get skewed when you're losing fights to guys who are among the best to ever do it. So, I feel for him. It's really tough. I mean, he put on unbelievable fights against John Jones, greatest ever. Daniel Cormier in the conversation to be one of the greatest ever, right?
Anthony Johnson.
Anthony Johnson. Anthony Smith is a beast of a man. So, yep. I don't know. I hope that in like a year and a half, Gus is healthy. And he's like, you know, let me try this again. And they give him kind of a tune-up fight, and he remembers what a badass he is.
Yeah. What about Manuel and King Mo? Were you kind of feeling them? You know, they were pretty honest, and with Mo, it being a lot having to do with his body just breaking down. With Manuel kind of addressing a little bit of the KOs and just thinking about his family and turning the page. Plus, they're both in their higher 30s as opposed to Gustafsson in his early 30s.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are in little different situations because of the wear and tear on the brain and the body. You know, I wish we would have seen King Mo in what's universally accepted as like a competitive division for him. He fought a ton of really good guys, obviously, but he never did the UFC thing where maybe the best talent was. So I don't know what his legacy is going to be. I'm a fan. But and Jimmy Manoa, I mean, look, it's tough to have to go out on a note where you're doing it for safety reasons, for health reasons, and you don't get to say, yeah, this is a positive note for me and this is the way I wanted to go out. So I feel for him in that regard. But I respect the hell out of him doing the right thing, big picture. And if you saw his statement, it looks like he's going to try and, you know, probably stay coaching or being around the game, being around the sport. And I think his influence will be felt for years to come.
Agreed. All right, sir, let's talk about PFL 2019, week three. It is I can't think of a better fight to start things off than Dan Spahn and Bazeget Ateyev. I don't want to scare you and think we're going all over 12. We don't have time for that. But still, I have this soft spot for Ateyev. I love his hands, dude. There's not too many fighters that I've seen that have gotten overlooked for the power that they pack in their punches.
Hey, I don't love his hands. He put those hands on me last season. And the spinning kick into my liver, man, there's nothing to love about that. No, he's 40 years old, and he still moves like a much younger man. He's quick, he's fluid, and he's a devastating striker. He just has a ton of natural talent and flow and rhythm to his striking that's
yes,
deceptively fast and harder to figure out. And, he's unbelievable fighter. He's really, really good. And then Dan Spahn, I think, is one of the more underrated guys I can think of at 205. He's kind of soft-spoken, quiet, tough as hell. And if you can beat Dan Spahn, you're a good fighter. But if you're not pretty damn good, he's going to put a whooping on you.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let me turn it over to Goes here, and then we'll come back and talk a couple more fights here. And we're talking to Sean O'Connell, who's going to be on the call for PFL 2019, Week 3, Light Heavyweights and Heavyweights, back at the Uniondale Coliseum in Long Island. Of course, you can watch the fights on ESPN2 at 7 p.m. Eastern, and then 9 p.m. Eastern, they switch over to ESPN+. Goes, what do you have for Real OC Sports?
Sean, so you won your season. You have what it takes, basically. So my question to you is, what is that one thing that you can point out in a fighter that you feel like it takes to make it through all this?
Well, I think in the specific format of Professional Fighters League, durability is very, very important. You're going to fight five times in the span of 6.5 months. So you have to be durable or just not give a shit about the fact that your body hurts so much, you know? And I think that it's sometimes underrated. You know, we talk about toughness in fighting almost as if it's like not necessarily, you want to be skilled, you want to be fast, you want to be smooth, you want all these other things. And then like somewhere down the line, you want to say, oh yeah, he's tough. But if all you are is tough, it's not enough. But damn, if all you are is skilled in this format, that's not enough either. Because you saw some guys last year in every weight class, Andre Harrison, all the way up to like Vinny Magalhães, that they were skilled, unbelievably skilled, but you got to be tough and you got to be able to grind it out if you want to get that championship.
Calling fights, when you're doing that, is it all about calling the fights in general? Like, in other words, are there ever any scenarios where you see something that maybe you just never really realized in the cage while you were there and almost apply it to yourself and go, well, that was cool. I wish I would have tried that last year, or that approach. Like, what is going through your head while you're doing all this?
Yeah, I mean, there's always things like that where I'll see a guy put together a combination and be like, oh, you know what? That was a sweet combo. I bet I could pull that off. But now, you know, it's not, I don't want to do it so badly that I'm willing to come out of retirement just to try out a few new things. But, yeah, it's fun to watch from that perspective, cage side, especially with Randy Couture and Eve Edwards kind of helping lend insight and explain. And, that, you know, they give you a deeper look at the little tips and tricks that you're seeing from other people that maybe you hadn't seen before. And I've always been a better, like, fight watcher than a fight fighter. Like, I'm a good fight corner. I can coach people through something. As do as I say, not as I do. When I got in there, it was always going to end up ugly and always going to end up sloppy and things like that. But I think that in the booth, so to speak, I'm better because I have a little bit of an insight that, you know, not a lot of play-by-play guys have. Certainly color analysts have, but not a lot of play-by-play guys have.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. The main event features Emiliano Sordi versus Vinny Magalhães. Hell, I think it'd be pretty proper advice to tell a guy like Sordi, well, look at the O'Connell fight. I mean, you were able to do a lot of things that Magalhães' other opponents weren't able to do, and one of them was just kind of wait it out a little bit, kind of get through that first round. Vinny was such a beast in the regular season, but there was those question marks, you know, well, what's going to happen in round two, what's going to happen in round three or whatever. But you just can't make a mistake against that guy, you know, because he's a cobra and he'll wrap you up and you're done, you know what I mean? So it'll be interesting to see, because Sordi, I believe, has 4 submission losses. He's got 4 submission wins, but still, I just feel like the ground game is maybe somewhere that's too dangerous for him.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's no secret that Vinny is, from a jiu-jitsu perspective, as good as anyone we've ever seen in the mixed martial arts world. I mean, guys like Jacare probably have even better claim, but there's a very short list, right? And the strategy going into a fight with Vinny should be, if it goes to the ground, if he gets me to the ground, survive. Not, I bet I'm going to sweep him. Not, I'm going to try and submit him. Not, it's survive and do whatever's necessary. Like, if that means you're just taking a couple punches and turtling up and just moving enough that the referee knows you're still in it, fine. But survive until you can find an opening to get yourself up. I think guys made a mistake last year where they immediately wanted to scramble out and they immediately wanted to escape as Vinny was trying to set things up. And he's going to be two or three moves ahead of you on the ground if you're not purely focusing on defense. I purely focused on defense. I survived in the first round, and I got him in the end of the third.
Yep.
Sean, I want to see if I can put you in another fighter's shoes just for a moment. Vinny Magalhães, you took $1 million away from him, okay? He was the guy that was breaking records, made it all the way to the end, and you won the $1 million. If you're him and now you're trying to do this all over again and you're in that cage, you have your opponent in front of you, do you think at some moment his eyes are going to lock with yours? And do you feel like because of what happened last year, that can maybe mess with a fighter a little bit? Like, there's that guy that took $1 million from me.
I want to be an absolute consummate professional about this play-by-play thing. I want people to remember that I was a fighter and hopefully think I was a decent fighter, but I want them to view me moving forward as the best play-by-play guy in the game. So I'm trying to do things that way. And I actually hate the fact that I'm still so far inside of Vinny's head. We had our fighter meetings today, and I'm trying to ask him impartial questions that any play-by-play man would ask a fighter in preparation to call a fight. And coming from me, it sounds insulting to him. Or coming from me, he thinks that there's a subtext to me saying, like, oh, I got you or whatever, and I'm really trying to avoid that. Obviously, I think I'm a better fighter than him. He disagrees. But I want to separate me, the fighter, from me, the play-by-play guy. And I'm able to do it. Vinny has demonstrated to me so far that he is not. And I hope it doesn't affect him when he's fighting tomorrow, when he's fighting this season. But every indication right now shows that, he can't get over the loss to me, and it's still bothering him. And my involvement so close to the cage might be a distraction for him. I hope he can compartmentalize, because I don't want to be the reason that, he doesn't get $1 million this year. I'm not fighting him. It was fine with that last year, but I really hope that he's able to compartmentalize, because I'm trying to be a professional about this play-by-play thing and separate my feelings about Vinny's response to our fight and all that stuff. I'm just going to try and objectively observe who he is as a fighter now and his technique and all that. I hope he can do the same.
Do you think that it can mess with you in any way? Because you're talking about in the fighter meetings and just kind of having to change that mindset and make sure that you ask things from a certain way. Do you feel like calling the fight will kind of be a little difficult for you as well?
If anything, I think it might just lead me to be overly complimentary to Vinny, to overcompensate and make it not sound like I'm talking trash on a guy who, even though I beat him, won't give me any credit. And even though I beat him, just says that it's because I got lucky or because he was injured or whatever. He won't give me any credit for the fact that I beat him for a title and $1 million. He won't give me any credit. And that bothers me, but I'm going to probably end up overcompensating, if anything, on the broadcast, because I don't want to sound like a bitter former opponent who can't handle, the secondary role of being a play-by-play guy now instead of being the man in the cage.
Hey, Sean, forgive me for asking. This is just extremely fascinating for me, but was this something that just happened this week where he said this, or was this like post-fight last year that you're addressing as far as you not getting credit from your opponent?
Well, I encourage everyone to watch PFL 3 and see what what is said and what makes it through the edits and all that stuff. Look, he and I had a brief conversation about how we thought the fight went down and the reasons he and I thought that it went my way versus his way. And we don't agree, and that's fine. He's a competitor. I'm a competitor. I respect the hell out of his ability. I think that he's a favorite this year. I think he's going to be really tough to get through. I know how to handle losses. And I think, when you watch the broadcast, if some of what he said makes it through the edit, you'll probably see what I'm talking about. But I'm not going to spoil it for everyone. Just watch PFL 3.
There you go. We'll leave it at that. Tomorrow night, folks, ESPN 2, they'll start off, and that's at 7 p.m. Eastern start time, and then they go to ESPN Plus, 9 p.m. Eastern start time. PFL's new home, of course, is with ESPN. On display will be light heavyweights and heavyweights, and in the main event is last year's finalist, Vinny Magalhaes versus Emiliano Sordi. Hey, OC, thank you very much for making this happen. It's always great to catch up with you on a fight week just to kind of get a little bit of the behind the scenes, so thank you very much for your time, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to take another break there. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation Channel 156. Stay close, and we'll be right back to close up shop.
Abducted by aliens and instantly returned for raiding all their snacks. They are Gorgeous George and Goes. And this is MMA Junkie Radio.
Happening right now, it's Game 3 of the NBA Finals between the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors feed is on NBA Radio, Sirius 207 and XM86. The Raptors feed can be heard on Channel 167. The National Call is on Channel 80, and all of it is streaming on your phone and at home on SiriusXM connected devices and speakers. At this very moment, I believe it's 41-33, Toronto, right, Gus? Was that the last score?
It was, I think, yeah.
Okay. Somewhere around there. They've kind of maintained a double-digit or 6 to 8 points over Golden State, who, by the way, is without Kevin Durant. Looks like he's out of the game altogether, and I did not see Klay Thompson out there as a starter or as anybody off the bench, so that that tweaked hamstring might be a little bit more serious than we originally thought. A couple quick things. Marco from Waco goes, had given us a five-team parlay before the UFC out in Brazil. He hit it. That was a couple favorites.
Did he really?
And I don't know if he bet it, but I've given him crap all over the times he's called in and they haven't hit.
Mm-hmm.
And
good job, Marco.
I went back and listened, and he hit them all. So, yeah. Also, I have a buddy that I don't talk to very often. He was 2 years behind me at Modern Day, but I know him through Matt Lucky. He hit me up out of nowhere. He goes, hey, man, just thinking about you. And I go, why? He goes, because years ago, and this must have been literally like anywhere from 10 to 20 years ago, he told me that I told him, you know what would be really awesome? We must have been drunk. And he told me what? If Carl's Jr. came up with a triple Western bacon cheeseburger. Now, I don't remember this, but it sounds like something I'd say.
That's
the double
too much.
Is insane. And he hit me up out of nowhere. He goes, hey, GG, guess what, man? They're doing it. You know, so I was laughing my ass off. And he says he catches the show from time to time on his way home. So I want to give Jim Kelly from Modern Day Class of 89 a shout out.
Triple Western
but
bacon.
But I guess this triple Western is out. And if I mean, the Western bacon is money. The double Western bacon, yep, right down my alley. But triple is a lot, man.
That's too much, yeah.
You are clogging arteries at that point. All right, let's finish up with our daily debate. Hit it, Andre.
The brothers Garcia seemingly can't agree on anything.
Everybody knows it's duck season.
Rabbit season.
Duck season.
Rabbit season.
Whether it's food.
Less filling.
Tastes great.
Less filling.
Tastes great.
Gambling.
Always bet on black.
I like red.
Black.
Red.
Black.
Red.
Black, dummy.
Or even social media.
Instagram.
Snapchat.
Instagram.
Snapchat.
The same applies to the biggest stories in MMA. Time for MMA Junkie Radio's Daily Debate.
Today's hashtag daily debate question for at MMA Junkie Radio. Tony Ferguson versus Donald Cerrone is being promoted as the people's main event. But do you think it deserves top billing over the two title fights at hashtag UFC 238? Yes or no, please expand.
No, and I think you can never do it. As long as there are belts on the line, you cannot put another fight above it.
Even though most of the arena is... they're gunning for this fight as,
I hear
as
you.
Their fight of the night.
I will as well.
Okay.
I am gunning for that as well. If you tell me I can know there's three fights, they're all happening at the same time, I can only see one, that's the one I'm going to. However, if you do that, if you put that matchup above title fights, you're diminishing your belts. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense.
Even the female one?
Yeah.
So you, both
you just you can't do it. The belts are what's supposed to even matter the most.
Even the WMMA, so the UFC featherweight, and I'm picking on that one not because it's a female one, but it's got the least amount of like
history in it. Put it on another card then. Have it headline something else, but you can't put it above your belts.
So what if Shogun Hua wanted to have one last classic against another legend? We'll say.
I'm not saying it won't work. If you watch WWE, I think they've done those type of things before. But here in mixed martial arts, you cannot put – it just doesn't make sense. It's going to make whatever's below it seem less.
Let's say Daniel Cormier loses to Miocic for whatever reason.
Okay.
And then we hear that out of San Jose, California, Cain Velasquez and Cormier get into it. And that's all of a sudden been built up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to fight. But the main card or the main event – is Amanda Nunes versus a featherweight that we haven't heard.
I know what you're trying to do.
Still,
you can't. Yeah, you just can't do it. Just put Cormier and Kane on another card.
Nobody's diminishing the belt, but I don't think anybody's trying to say, oh, my God, it's got so much history. Remember, this sport's young, and a lot of these weight classes are young, so that you don't see an exception out there somewhere.
I just feel like you're saying, now that we got that out of the way, here's this. No, it just doesn't make sense. Like, at your birthday parties, what presents do you open when you were a kid? The biggest one. It's got to mean something.
Yeah.
The one from Santa.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is the way it came out. 76% said yes. And I'll be honest, I'm with you. I think you got to respect. I guess my answer was no. I'm sorry. You got to respect the title. But 74% said yes, and 26% said no. And we had 850 and some change vote on this. Here's a couple that of comments here in the comments section. First one comes from Everett MMA fan. He says, it is head and shoulders above any other fight on the card.
I don't know about head and shoulders. Ryan Cejudo is a great fight.
Nick Young, 665 on Twitter, says, maybe not over the two title fights, but it should be a five-round main event by itself.
That I could see your point
like
there.
Maybe in San Antonio, the card we threw on San Antonio. Yeah. Why not have it there? Yeah. One more. Jorge JJ at Mexican King 4. He says, to be honest, nobody gave a single shit about Cejudo Moraes, let alone Valentina I. I disagree.
Yeah, that's not right.
I wholeheartedly disagree. For one, he said nobody. That means if you showed up to someone, he'd go, what? And his whole case is done, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of people do. It's just more care about Ferguson and Cerrone. They're just more popular. They carry a lot of name value. I mean, they've been in the sport for a long time. But make no mistake, man, Moraes is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And Cejudo's done some historical stuff. Valentina's proven herself on many divisions, you know, in many different combat sports. And just guys earned her spot. So he went too far with nobody. People give a shit, for sure. And it's just going to be a nice, stacked, deep card. And don't forget, Goz and I will be here on Saturday in the Junkie Studio in Mandalay Bay to do a sportscaster, fight companion, / watch-along, or whatever you want to call it. You guys watch the fights along with us, and we'll be doing some commentary. We'll be reacting, having some fun, partying it up. I want to thank our guests today, including Joseph Benavidez in the UFC, fighting at UFC on ESPN Plus, or excuse me, ESPN 3. Versus Juice Formiga on June 29th. Lillian Garcia and Sean O'Connell, both from the PFL, they'll be calling the fights. It'll be PFL tomorrow. So Sean will be calling the fights, and Lillian Garcia will be introducing the fighters. She's the ring announcer. So check that out. Tomorrow, Burt Watson will join us. On Friday, Francis Ngannou will join us. We're out of here. We're Jumbo. Well, no. Yeah, I guess there's a Jumbo Josh. There's a regular Josh. And there's Andre the Giant back east, all helping out. And, of course, Goz here, the sidekick. I'm George. Have a nice evening. Enjoy the rest of the Raptors and Warriors. And go out there and be a champion.